So this is the podcast for our class number 12 on October 6th, and we finished up governmental immunities in this class. What you should be doing now, and this is governmental immunities is a very important area of the law, so you should be going back and reviewing the differences. This is complicated, and students tend to kind of skim over it and get things mixed up. So it's the time is now that you should have it clear in your mind the different things that you hold government liable for. Is it something they did do, didn't do? Is it, were they acting in their capacity as a government, or were they doing it in something like as anyone else could be doing? Is it, where are the immunities? You know, it's all a very complex area. So don't just skim over it and, immediately think, it's a cuffy situation or it's a this situation. People get very much caught in trying to put a label on situations too quickly. So this is my advice. Make sure you know when do you need a special relationship? When is it just pure negligence, reasonable care analysis? When are you looking at the different kind of decisions? What is it that really caused the injury? So anyway, with Friedman, we talked about a different kind of mistake that's being claimed, and this involves planning decisions. Mistake involves planning decisions, and the courts, as we said, they said, all right, making these planning decisions for roads or building a bridge or putting up a reservoir, those are fundamental governmental decisions, certainly, and as such, courts don't want to get too involved. They're not going to question the planning decision or the planning process directly. So there's qualified immunity for the planning decisions, but once the decision has been made, the courts feel perfectly safe in saying it has to be done reasonably, it has to be done with due care. So Friedman had the situation, they said, involved looking at the road safety, which is a governmental activity. And the reason these cases were combined is they're basically the same case. A road safety involving crossover automobile accidents. In Friedman, the state had studied the stretcher road and decided that needed improvements, but improvements hadn't been made. And our plaintiff, 5 years after the study, our plaintiff came along and had an accident on exactly the same thing that the study had said was dangerous. And the court said, liability. There was no reason that they hadn't made the improvements. They hadn't presented any good reasons. It had just been, either bureaucratic bumbling or inefficiencies or whatever. No good reasons. They opened the door that maybe there were reasons if they really couldn't afford it. But no good reasons were made for not going ahead with this project. So our plaintiff and Friedman wins. Then Cataldo and Mueller had the difficult situation where there had been one study, 10 years later another study saying no improvements were needed. Cataldo comes along 1 year after the second study, had an accident with exactly the same scenario as the two prior studies had been looking at. And a year after the Cataldo accident, they came along and said, well, now we think that we need to make these improvements. Cataldo said, clearly, the two prior studies had been wrong. Why had been wrong? I had the accident, and 2 years after the last study, they decided to make those changes. Court said, all of this is true, but we're not questioning the validity of these studies unless they're obviously flawed. That is, that they didn't take certain obvious things into consideration. They weren't done with reasonable care. Just because you're contending the studies were wrong, and, you know, let's face it, there was probably some valid, you know, arguments here on Cataldo's part, but you can't just say the studies were wrong. So poor Cataldo, he's out. But 3 years after the 74 study saying, well, we better put these Jersey barriers on the road, crossover accidents were more dangerous than the bounce back accidents. We admit that now. Mueller comes along, crossover accident, the barriers hadn't been installed, and Mueller says, look, this is the Friedman situation. There was no, you made a study, said they had to have the barriers, and you didn't do it. The court said, correct. 3 years, there were no good reasons that had been given. Maybe if it had been 2 months or a month or 1 year, it hadn't happened, but you got to give a good reason why you haven't done these projects, and the state hadn't done so. So it's an example here of things we've been talking all along. Proprietary versus operational. Discretionary versus operational. Discretionary means that there was a choice involved, policy questions involved. Court's not going to question that. If it's just merely an operational decision, carrying out a policy that's been decided, court will feel perfectly good. Reasonable care standard. So when you come to these kinds of questions, liability based on a decision or a fundamental governmental decision, you have to look to see whether it was decision based on policy or really no decision at all, just carrying out the policy, in which case they have to do it with reasonable care. Putting up streetlights, have a plan, no streetlights needed. Can't question it, even though it's a dark street and you consequently get mugged. But if they put up a streetlight, they have a plan, they decide to put up a streetlight, then it's got to be maintained. Reasonable care analysis. Then we moved on to federal immunity of the federal government, and that depends on the Federal Tort Claims Act. It's a big statute. They gave up immunity for certain situations, retained it for others. And the big question here is the Federal Tort Claims Act allows negligence suits over acts of omission, except when those acts or omissions were based on discretionary decisions. So the idea of discretionary versus ministerial or operational comes into play again here. However, discretion was defined in the Varick case over anything that involved policy, social, or economic aspects. Now, the court quite correctly says everything involves, you know, there's nothing that the federal government does that they couldn't claim involves policy, economic, or social aspect. So that if you really follow that to its ultimate conclusion, everything is discretionary. You could never sue the government, and this Federal Tort Claims Act would be nonsensical. So the court here in Cope v. Scott says, wait a minute, we've got to define discretion more narrowly. And there can be two levels of discretion. You didn't see this in other cases, but because of the Federal Tort Claims Act, which is so, you know, it defines so precisely what the federal government is opens itself up to in terms of litigation, the federal courts have felt that they have to have a two-step look at this discretionary aspect of their liability. So in COPE, they say discretion is a two-step process. There's decisions. Yes, all decisions can be said to be discretionary, but there are some that are where the policy, economic, or social aspects are merely negligible, and there are some that are grounded in either policy, economics, or social consideration. So there were two claims of negligence in this case. One, major road reconstruction. Two, putting up some signs. The court looked at it and said, major road reconstruction is definitely discretionary. The court looked at it quite clearly. They made a policy decision that this road did need to be reconstructed, but it was way down on the line. Other things were more important. Other things had priority. Policy, economics played a big role here. Road signs, however, are different. There were guidelines, so that's not like following a statute, so that wouldn't be no immunity. It's discretionary whether to put up signs, but there's no social consideration why they shouldn't put up more signs. There were already signs on the road, so it wasn't like this was the Grand Canyon, a major scenic highway that they didn't want to interrupt by signs. There were already signs, so it's not a social consideration. No policy. They put up signs, so it's not a policy against putting up signs. And the economic putting up some signs are fairly negligible. So that putting up signs is not, it may be a discretionary decision, but it's not one that's grounded, that's fundamentally either policy, social, or economic. So the court makes another level of inquiry here based on the fact that if you didn't do that, the Federal Tort Claims Act, even though it opens the door to discretionary decisions, would never allow any lawsuits ever. So you can see what we're talking about here in terms of governmental immunity. There are hurdles to jump through. When you're looking at these cases, then, looking at hypotheticals, it's important that you identify clearly what your hurdles are. Is it a governmental act? Is it a proprietary act? Proprietary, anybody could do it, running a hospital, running a transportation system, reasonable care inquiry. If it's fundamentally governmental, that is a governmental agency such as the police involved in doing something only the government does, provide safety, then the court's not going to second-guess their decisions because they're fundamentally policy discretionary. But if it's just following up the decisions, if it's purely ministerial and it's a reasonable care analysis, Lauer and Cuffey add on a whole new wrinkle by saying there needs to be some special relationship. Why do they want that? They don't want to open the floodgates. So look to see whether it's in our decision, whether even if it's an operational one, do they need still to qualify it, provide some further protection by the special relationship rubric? So not all dealings with the police need a special relationship. Think about where not all dealings with the fire department or 911 need a special relationship. But question, make the distinction between these promises to protect, to provide safety, or something that's just done poorly. Okay, so next class, we're going to start with our a whole new section, and this is duty to protect against certain types of injury. and these are non-physical injuries. You don't get into these questions when we're talking about physical injuries. When there's a physical injury, psychic, emotional harms, psychic harms, or economic harms will come in just as a matter of damages. But here we have emotional injuries, pure economic loss, standing alone, and the courts have put in some extra rules that we will call duty questions when these are standalone torts.